Il ressort des premiers éléments recueillis, témoignages et exploitation de la vidéosurveillance que, à 21h20,
the Paris prosecutor, François Molin, gives a rundown of the sheer scope of the terror attacks. 9:20, an explosion at the Stade de France football stadium north of Paris. 9:25, at the Carillon and Petit Cambodge in the 10th district, a shootout with a Kalashnikov kills 15. 9:30, a second explosion at the Stade de France. 10:32, a shootout at the Bonnebière bar, 5 dead. 9:36, at La Belle Équipe, shootout, 19 dead. 9:40, a black car arrives at the Bataclan. Men with heavy weapons shoot into the crowd during the concert. 89 people lost their lives at the Bataclan that night. The majority were in their 30s. The attacks left France in a state of shock.
Very quickly, the issue of the memory was present because the people living around were not so happy with all these memorials. You know, they wanted to live an ordinary life while they couldn't, because they were the witnesses of what happened.
That's historian and filmmaker Christian Delage, head of the Institut d'Histoire du Temps Présent, the Institute for Contemporary History. Shortly after the attacks, a friend suggested the Institute should begin filming people who'd witnessed the attacks.
I would never have thought by myself to take this opportunity, but suddenly I said, well, it may be interesting. Why? Because I've made interviews with survivors of the Holocaust. They were at least 80, 82, 85 years old. They were very far from the events they were narrating. Sometimes I knew better than them the history of the situation in which their own situation took place. People who died at Bataclan, the average age is 34 years old. So suddenly I said to myself, it could be interesting to reverse the situation where I would be older than these people and we are very close to the event. Let's see what it makes.
The idea wasn't to compile an exhaustive list of witnesses, but to gather stories, to build up a small but detailed picture of that night.
The idea is really to have this broad picture of the memory of what happened. You know, having policemen, having firefighters, having doctors, having people talking of dead people.
Delage and his team first reached out to people who'd already spoken to the media. People like Véronique, the owner of the Baromètre café-restaurant, just a few doors down from the Bataclan. She and her son Julien talked to Delage about welcoming many of those that fled the concert, physically unharmed, but psychologically in pieces. The café also became the HQ for the anti-terrorist security forces, known as the BRI, as they prepared to storm the concert hall.
Écoutez, tous les clients et même des gens d'extérieur qui étaient rentrés chez nous, se réfugier, sont donc passés par cet escalier pour se réfugier chez moi, où ils étaient quand même plus en sécurité que dans la rue.
All the clients and people that came to take refuge came in through here, via this staircase. They were safer here than in the street. Some of them were very young and they were scared. I put them in the back room, away from the street. I put the others in the living room and closed the curtains so they were protected. There were shots being fired all around. It went on for 3 or 4 hours. Because there wasn't any other sound in the whole neighborhood, well, you could even hear the difference between grenades and Kalashnikovs. It seemed to go on forever.
C'était long. Il y avait beaucoup de gens du SAMU, de pompiers, de psychologues.
There were a lot of rescue workers, ambulances, firemen, psychologists, because we didn't welcome the seriously injured ones here. We had the ones who were traumatized. They'd lost friends or family. Some of them couldn't speak. One couple was covered in blood. I said, you're bleeding, you need help. But the man said, no, we'd hidden under the corpses. We just tried to comfort the traumatized ones as well as we could. It went on until 5:30 in the morning.
For Véronique, we are downstairs in the cafe. And she says, well, you know, I don't think of myself as being a kind of hero of this night. I just did what I thought was to be done.
During the film narration, Véronique shows Christian Delage a photo on the wall.
It's la photo qui est là-haut.
Oui.
J'essaie de la décrocher. Sur cette photo, vous avez mon papa.
Here's my dad, my grandparents, two uncles and Dr. Darien. They were part of Dr. Darien's network, a big resistance network.
D'un grand réseau de résistance. Donc j'ai voulu, vraiment cette nuit-là, j'ai voulu être digne d'eux.
That night, I wanted to be worthy of them. I did absolutely everything I could. It's true, I spent that night with my father in mind.
Et c'est vrai, hein, j'ai passé la nuit avec mon père.
Earlier this year, Delage and his team shared a handful of such testimonies with the public radio station France Inter. As a result, another 30 people said they wanted to share their stories with the Institute. One of them was Thibault, a young rock fan who went to watch the Eagles of Death concert with his wife. This is an extract from his one-hour-long narration.
Donc, il y a eu ce mouvement de foule à l'arrière de la salle.
There was this stampede at the back of the room. A man appeared and it looked like there was a spotlight on him. He was lit up and all the people around him fell to the ground.
Tout le monde est tombé et immédiatement je me suis couché sur j'ai attrapé ma femme, je l'ai mise par terre, j'ai essayé de me coucher sur elle.
I grabbed my wife and flung her to the floor. I tried to lie on top of her. And I put her on the floor and covered her with something, coat, jumper, I don't know. She says that as I pushed her to the ground, I said, these people aren't here for the fun of it. I can't remember having said that, but she says I did.
Je l'ai compris après, mais si cet homme a eu l'air éclairé, c'est à cause des flammes de sa mitraillette.
With hindsight, I realized the man seemed to be lit up because of the sparks from his machine gun.
Les tirs se sont arrêtés.
The firing stopped and it's stupid, but I lifted up my head. I only recently realized I'd done that. It was a stupid reflex. Perhaps he stopped because he couldn't see anyone else to shoot. So it wasn't very wise to lift my head up at that moment, but I did.
La lumière était allumée dans le Bataclan.
Then the lights came back on. The group had left the stage very quickly. Good for them.
Dans un fracas hallucinant, c'est un truc qu'on ne devrait jamais entendre. C'est la musique qui s'arrête et il n'y a pas d'applaudissement après. C'est, j'avais jamais entendu
It's something
ça.
You never want to hear. The music stops and there's no applause afterwards. I've seen some crap concerts in my time, but there's always some applause. This time there was silence.
Toute la fosse est allongée.
Everyone was lying on the floor.
Enfin, sauf une jeune femme qui.
Well, everyone except for a young woman. She was standing up.
Qui restait debout. Elle avait l'air gênée de se coucher.
She seemed embarrassed to sit down.
Par terre.
People were laid out on top of one another. Regardless of whether they might be hurting someone.
Est-ce que je vais faire mal à quelqu'un ou quoi? Mais elle avait l'air de se dire, je peux pas me mettre là parce que je vais faire mal à quelqu'un.
But she seemed to be thinking, no, I can't sit there. I might hurt someone. I might tread on someone's hand.
Et elle a été tuée.
They shot her.
And it was incredible how he prepared himself, you know, not specifically for us, but because he made a huge work on himself to, you know, to try to get out of this story and not only to think of himself but to all the people who he watched during that night, the people he met, you know, other people coming to Bataclan. And for us it was absolutely fascinating that you don't have to intervene, you know. He came by himself to a certain completion of the narrative he wanted to give.
You get the impression that you're kind of stepping in to a hole that's been left through certain perhaps mistakes that have been made by the media.
They say very precisely, we hate the way the TVs, not radios, the TVs and mostly the 24/7 newsreel TVs dealt with that. I think thanks to the institution I'm happy to be heading, and thanks to the history and reputation of this institution, they believe that we are serious guys and we try to comfort them in this idea that we were not predators, but we maybe help them at some point to build their narrative, and for us it was interesting to listen to their stories. So if we are interested, maybe other people will be.
That was historian Christian Delage, head of the Institute of Contemporary History. For RFI in Paris, I'm Alison Hurd.